Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. We had this verse the other week in our Sunday school class, and it really spoke volumes to me. But Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 and 24, as you're turning there, I don't know if y'all have ever read this book. It's a children's book by Judith Voist. I think that's the way you say the person's name. But it's Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Angela's shaking her head. You teach little ones, you know what I'm talking about right there. He could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. He went to sleep with gum in his mouth and woke up with gum in his hair. When he got out of bed, he tripped over his skateboard and by mistake dropped his sweater in the sink while the water was running. He could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Nothing at all was right. Everything went wrong, right down to lima beans for supper and kissing on TV. What do you do on a day like that? Well, you may think about going to Australia. You may also be glad to find out that some days are like that for other people too. Let's read the scriptures and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. In honor of God's word, if you don't mind, stand if you're able. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or inclined their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Let's pray. Father, you are the Lord God. You are Lord and Creator of all. All is in your hand. All is in your control. Father, by your grace, I am here before you. By your grace, we have the opportunity to know Christ as our Lord and Savior and have that relationship with you. Father, by your grace, you are here for us. And even when things feel like it's a very bad, terrible, horrible, no good day, you're here with us. You are in our midst because you have promised so. And your word is truth. And Father, when we forget that, it doesn't change the fact of who you are. You are holy, you are righteous, you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you, we love you. May you honor the reading of your word. May you speak through me today. May you be lifted up. May you be glorified in all that is said and done here today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last 3 years have been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And this week, it just kind of came to a head for me. And I'm ashamed to admit for you that I was ready to throw the towel in. I was ready to say, God, you're not real. I was ready to say, God, I quit. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to contribute. I'm not going to volunteer. I'm not going to do what you say I should do. I was ready. I said things that were hurtful, that were unkind. I hurt the ones around me that love me, that care about me. I'm ashamed of myself. But I say this out of humility, because even when we're having a horrible, no good, very bad day, God is still in control. I was reminded about that by people who love me, who were willing to let me say things that I should not have said, who were willing to let me express my heart, no matter how bad it was. And they loved me, and they reassured me, and they helped me to remember God's truth. And it reminded me of this passage of Scripture that we've read. And I've titled this, "What Direction Are You Going?" This week, I went bad. I went backwards. I didn't just take 2 steps back. I took 100 steps back. But I was able to refocus and regroup. Not because I'm good. Not because I'm worthy. Not because I'm something special. I'm telling you right now, Joe Wood is not a great guy. Joe Wood is just a sinner saved by grace and nothing more. But Jeremiah was given these words to speak to the nation of Israel. And it, like I said, we shared this last week in Sunday school, and it just spoke to me so much. You know, God commanded, saying, "Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backwards and not forward." And so the question I ask myself and I ask you, what direction are you going? We're constantly encouraged to go bigger and better, buy the latest and greatest, and keep moving forward to get as far ahead as we can. But what is motivating us? Jeremiah was instructed by God to deliver to the people this message of repentance, and if they would repent, he would spare them from the conquering that was to come. And in the two verses, I believe great truths are spoken and are still applicable today. First of all, God commands. It's not merely suggestions or even guidelines that might be considered, but his holy, righteous instructions for his people. And we must remember his commands are always for our benefit. That's hard to remember sometimes, but they are for our benefit. They're not just something for him to say that may or may not help us, but will draw us into a closer walk and fellowship with him. And that's the direction we need to go, towards him. Says, "Obey my voice." When the word of the Lord is given to us, we are to give him our full attention. Think about how Jesus drew the crowds to him when he preached and he taught. Just the sound of his voice was enough to cause the people to focus on him and him alone. He had crowds coming to him all the time. You know, just his voice was enough to calm the sea, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. "Lazarus, come forth." Just his voice. So when God spoke to his servants, he also speaks to you and me. And when he does, he expects complete obedience. He says, "I will be your God. You shall be my people." There is always positive results when we follow God's commands, follow God's voice. For God to say he will be ours and we will be his is one of the most reassuring feelings we could ever have. It's that feeling you have like when you're a child. When you're scared, when you're sad, when you scrape your knee, where do you run? You run to mom and daddy. And when mama hugs you, when mama holds you, it feels better. It's the same with God. We have that complete peace and security. He said, "Walk in all the ways I have commanded you." We don't get to pick and choose which commands we want to obey and which to ignore. And God expects all his instructions to be followed completely. And that's a hard one. We want to sometimes say, "Well, I'll do this, God, but I really don't want to do that." But we got to do what he says. Every one of them. And when we walk, we're walking with Him. We're never alone. It may feel that way at times, but this is when we have to trust what He says, that it may be well with us. There's times when we feel alone, when we feel sad, when we're discouraged, and we feel like we're all by ourselves. And this is where we have to rely on God's truth. It's not always about feelings, because our feelings will betray us. Our feelings will tell us you're no good. Our feelings will tell us you done messed up, you might as well quit. Our feelings will tell us you might as well not even go back there anymore, because it's no good. Our feelings may tell us it's not worth it. But God's Word says it is. God's Word says to trust in Him. So if we are to be complete, to be fulfilled, to be totally satisfied, we must follow all that He commands of us. Now, it says they did not obey. They followed the counsel and the dictates of their evil hearts. The people chose to ignore God and rejected His love and compassion. They did as they thought was right, and this always leads us away from God gets away from Him when we do what we want. And not only did they follow their hearts, but it says their evil hearts. Man's heart is purely evil. If you've been a part of our Genesis Bible study, we think back to Cain and Abel. The anger that Cain had when his offering was rejected. God told him, sin lies at the door, and it wants to devour you. You must master it. You must get away from it. Don't let it have anything to do with you. It wants to hurt us. So man's heart is not good. It says their hearts were full of rejection and disobedience, and their sinful nature made it impossible for a relationship with God. This is why He wanted them to repent, to come back to them. The state that they were in, the state that we're born into, keeps us away from God. And then it says they went backward and not forward. This is where I want to focus. Where are we going? We need to move forward, meaning closer to God. We must move forward individually in our relationship with God, and we must move forward as a church family to be pleasing to God. And sometimes this means change. Now, we know the Universal Baptist joke. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? There you go. Thank you. But change is inevitable. Inevitable. We got to do it. And we must be willing and courageous to change as God wants us to be. And that's who we change for. And hear me closely on this. This is why we change for God. We don't change for the pastor. We don't change for the Sunday school department. We don't change for the choir. We don't change for anyone else. We change because God wants us to change. And how do we do that? Y'all thought I was almost done. I got about four more pages to go here. How do we change? First, we look up. The first thing we need to do when coping with change and with a situation is to look up. Take your eyes off your circumstances and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. This is one of the things that helped me think this week. All I could see with my blinders on was what was lying right ahead of me. That's all I could focus on. And as long as we're not looking to God, we're looking for trouble. And I say that because it's happened to me. And I say that not to have any attention on me, but to hopefully it helps you in case you feel the same way. If this has happened to you, if this is something you're going through right now, I say it as encouragement. Look up. When we focus upon our circumstance, We're taking a worldview that is short-sighted and distorted. All we can see are our immediate circumstances. But when we focus upon God and who He is and who He says we are, then we gain a biblical view of the world and remember that our citizenship is in heaven. Abraham said, I'm a pilgrim in this land. I'm just passing through. So whether we're in America, whether we're in a foreign land, wherever any of us claim to be from, we realize that we are just passing through as we pursue God until that day when our pursuit is over and we have arrived home with Him. Every day when we wake up, we have to remember this is temporary. This is temporary. The good is temporary. The bad is temporary. The circumstances are temporary. God is eternal, and His promise to us is eternal. And that's what we put our faith and our trust in. So as we look up, we have to remember God is in control. As we look up and receive a biblical view of the world, we remember that God is in control. Think about Daniel, taken as a youth from his home and into captivity. I'm sure that Daniel and his friends did not understand what was going on or why. They probably had lots of why God questions. Do any of y'all question God like I do? Do you say, God, why in the world is this happening? I was brought up to believe if I go to church, if I put my money in the offering plate, if I volunteer for things and are willing to help out, then you're going to make everything right. That's the lie we tell at church. And I don't say that mean, I say that honest. That's the lie we tell at church. Things are not always going to be okay from the world's viewpoint. We're going to get hurt. We're going to face pain. We're going to face sorrow in this world. But we're passing through. It's not permanent. It's only temporary. Ultimately, they knew that God was in control and He was going to carry them through. Second, God is with you. The second thing that happens when we look up and receive a biblical view of the world is that we remember that God is always with us. We are familiar with the Great Commission found in Matthew 28:19-20. We all know that Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. But a lot of times we forget the very last part. The very last part tells us what? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're not by ourselves. He's with us. He isn't there for just part of the journey. He's with us every step of the way on our journey home to be with Him and then for all eternity. There is no place that you can be that He is not there with you. Whether you're on a high, whether you're on a low, whether you're on the middle of the road, He's there with us. He is with us in the good times. He's with us in the bad times. Before leading the Israelites into the promised land, God told Joshua three times, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God tells us today, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised us that. Not only is God in control or is God with us, God has authority. This is a strong one right here, I think. The third thing that happens when we look up is that we remember that God has authority. Think about Daniel's example again. When King Nebuchadnezzar was a smart guy, he knew all about war and the need for winning the hearts and the minds of his newly conquered people. He was a strategy king. If you study history, the history of the Bible, you understand, you know, he was a man of war. And he began a program of indoctrination, and he was going to teach these new subjects how to think and act the Babylonian way. He took these young men from the royal family and nobility who were smart, and he wanted young men so that he could influence them, and they in turn could influence others, and thereby he would be winning over the next generation. It's kind of how things work right there. You want to teach somebody, you teach them, so they can teach them, under them, what you have taught them. To keep that going on. That was his plan. He started off this indoctrination by changing their names, Daniel and his friends. By changing their names, Nebuchadnezzar was letting them know that he is the one who has authority over them, that their heritage is forever lost, and now he controls the destination. A person's name reflects their background and their character. A story that was told: Alexander the Great, one of the greatest warriors of all time, was holding court one day when some military officials escorted before him a young soldier. The young soldier was caught running away from battle. You know, terrible disgrace. Alexander the Great said, "Soldier, tell me your name." The soldier replied, "Alexander." Alexander the Great said again, "Soldier, what is your name?" The soldier replied, "Alexander." Once again, Alexander the Great asked the soldier, "What is your name?" The soldier replied, "Alexander." Alexander the Great then said to him, "Either change your conduct or change your name." God says to us, what is your name? It's Christian. What is your name? Christian. What is your name? Christian. Either we change our conduct or we change our name. That's what I had to understand this week. My conduct has to change. I'm a Christian. No matter what lie Satan wants to tell me, no matter what lie Satan wants to tell you, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a Christian. You belong to the King. Amen. Next, we're challenged to live out our faith. That leads to our second point here. In order to cope with change, we first need to look up. Second, we need to live out our faith. Much easier said than done. Another story here. A man fell off a cliff but managed to grab a tree limb on the way down. The following conversation ensued. Is there anyone up there? I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe. But I can't hang on much longer. That's okay. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch. A moment of pause. Then he asked, is there anyone else up there? Sometimes faith is easier to talk about than to live out. It's easy to sit there and say, it's going to be okay. It's okay. God's got this. It's okay. Don't worry. It's easy to say that. But it's hard to walk through it. James says that our faith without works is useless. Our faith is a demonstration of what we believe and what we hold true. God honors godly character. As we live out our faith, God will honor godly character. Again, look at Daniel. He's in a foreign land. His parents are nowhere to be found and are not looking over his shoulder. He is being offered the choicest foods from the king's table in this situation. And all the other Israelite friends are doing it, except Daniel and his friends. Imagine the peer pressure that is going on. And this young man is tempted that he's experiencing. But the text tells us in Daniel 1:8, that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He was committed to keeping himself pure before God. He was steadfast in his convictions. He was not going to compromise his values. He made a choice. No matter how it was going to be, he was going to trust God. As we experience change and we make different choices and different decisions, sometimes we encounter long separations. We encounter different cultures. We encounter temptations. We also have to purpose in our heart to be obedient to God, to not compromise our values. When we're faced with change, whether it's in church or in our own personal relationships, we've got to remember that God is to be glorified. And just because we want to do something a certain way, or it's the way that we've always done it, is it honoring to God? And if not, we need to make a choice. We need to change it. We're to trust God as we live out our faith by exhibiting godly character and not compromising our values. We trust God to help us. Trust is a very important thing. Think about people in your life that you trust. I know anytime that I go to the doctor or have to do things, they have that wonderful little HIPAA code paper that you have to fill out. And the first thing I say is my wife's name. I'd rather them tell her than tell me what's wrong with me. I don't really want to know. She knows more about it than I do. But I trust her. You know, that if there's something I need to do or need to know, it'll be there. If they need to tell me something and I can't speak for myself, I want them to tell her. That's the kind of trust we got to have in God. Number three, we look ahead expectantly. To cope with change, we need to look up, live out our faith. And third, we need to look ahead expectantly. We should fully expect God to honor our faith. We should expect God to work in our lives. And we should expect God to deliver us from our circumstances. But we just don't know how God is going to do it sometimes. Sometimes He will provide an answer that we don't expect, or even worse, we don't want. And that's hard. When we have our mind set, this is the solution I need, God, give it to me. And God says, no. And that hurts sometimes. Sometimes it makes us question. Sometimes it makes us wonder. But that does not change God. That means we have to change to His way of thinking and have to do what He says. God will provide how He chooses. And even when He chooses not to provide, He's still the Lord God. And we have to remember that. I have to remember that. God is preparing us. God gives us the opportunity to learn, the ability to learn, and the tools to learn with. God is preparing us for positions of leadership so that we can bring glory to God and not compromise our values. Think about where you're at in your life right now. Would you be where you're at if you hadn't gone through some of the experiences that you have gone through? Would you be the man or the woman that God has called you to be if you hadn't gone through some of those hard times, some of those situations, some of those difficult situations? Would we be that person? Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And that's the key. So many times we want to play church. I want to play Christian. Like I've said, I show up, I do what I think I should, I make all the check marks in the box right there, so I'm quote unquote, I'm right with God. No. If I'm not seeking God with all my heart, I don't have Him. I'm not obedient to Him. I'm not going to be who He wants me to be. I have to seek Him. We as a church have to seek Him. As we encounter trials and change, remember that God is preparing us for the future. I believe that we, as a body of believers here at Beaver Creek, we've got a wonderful future ahead of us. Individually, we have a wonderful future. But it takes us working together. Just as Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, we are the body of Christ. All of us. And it takes all of us working together to make this body go forward. The only thing that holds us back is the anchor. We don't want to be the anchor. And when we're trying to move forward, we want God to be our anchor to hold us steadfast when He wants us to hold steadfast. But as the body, we need to work together to move forward. And God will carry out His plan. God is faithful to carry out His plans for who He began a good work in. You will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ, until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. And God's plan does not always occur overnight. It takes time sometimes. It doesn't happen immediately. We are in a day and age of we want it now. We carry these little computers on our phone all the time. Last night, Jordan and I were going to get some supper, and I wanted to look something up. I said, Google it. She got it.
I said, look this up. You know, it's fun when I'm doing the driving, I can have her do all that stuff for me right there. Find this out for me. She can pull it up and look at it right there. We want the information now. We want it immediately. But God prepares us. As we're doing our study in Genesis, we haven't gotten there yet, but when we get to Joseph, it took 17 years for Joseph to finally figure out what God was preparing for him. How many of us would be willing to wait 17 years for something? Not many of us nowadays, because we want it now. We have to trust Him that He's going to provide in His time. And we know that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you or I are able to imagine in our lives as well. Thursday evening, I was talking with Pastor, and he helped me think of something. He said, Joe, just because this happened or didn't happen, he said, God's got something better in store for you. And it may not be how you even think it might happen or take place, but God's got something better for you. Because isn't God always better at it than we are? We ask for something small thinking it's the greatest thing in the world, and He gives us so much more. He provides. He promised to take care of us, and that's what He's doing. Think about it like this. You can tell what is inside a wet sponge by pressing on it and watching what comes out. Trust me. As the changes of life and circumstances press in on us, people will watch or be able to watch and see what is inside of us. Life will squeeze you sometimes. Life will cause you great hardship at times. But just like that sponge, when you squeeze it and see the stuff come out of it, when life squeezes us, what's going to come out of us? You know, and I really had to challenge myself on that one, because what came out of me the other day was not good. It was not good at all. So if that's where you're at in your relationship with God, I challenge you, make it right today. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what you're going through or what's going to happen to you in the near future. But I do know that God does, and that He has the perfect plan for you. A part of that plan is that He desires for you to know Him more and to trust Him more. If you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today's the day. The altar's going to be open. Dave and Louise, as y'all come forward, they're going to play a song of invitation. If you've never asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I ask that you do that today. Don't leave here today without making that choice, without asking God to forgive you. It's as simple as saying, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I come before you today, and I want to change. I want to turn from my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, that He took my sins upon that cross. And I want to turn from that. And I want to make Him Lord and Savior of my life. It's as simple as that, but it does take faith. What direction are we going in? What direction are we going? That's what I want you to think about today. And if you're not going in the direction you know that God wants you to go in today, come forward today and let's make it right. Let's pray. Father, I come before you right now. I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to stand here today and be used by you. I alone am not a good person. I alone am nothing without you. But Father, I am yours. And by that, I am something. And I thank you for that. So Father, I pray that if anyone here today does not know Christ, they'll choose to make that decision before they leave here today. And Father, we as a church, I pray that we as a church, Father, will look to you for guidance and direction, that we will work together to be the church that is pleasing to you, to reach this community, to reach this county, to reach this state, Father, in your name. Father, we need you. And without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do all things, Father. because of you and your power and your strength and your love. Father, let us love in your name. Let us be obedient in all that you would have us to do. And Father, we thank you and love you and ask your blessings now upon this time. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.